Okay, friends, you can take your Bibles, please, and open them to Ephesians 4 on the one hand and 1 Corinthians 12 on the other hand. I'm going to have a little review here before we begin, but we will seek to teach the Word of God here tonight as we look at a little bit more at spiritual gifts. Let me change my computer around here and I can get a little closer to my screen. All right. So I welcome you tonight, friends, as we continue our study of spiritual gifts in the local church. Tonight we want to emphasize body life, God's way. So as we think of using our spiritual gifts, let's start tonight in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start here in verse 11 and read. And again, I have the verses on here on PowerPoint. But if you want to look in your Bible, if you want to perhaps mark your Bible as we go, you can do that. So here the ascended Christ gave spiritual gifts to his church. And what did he say? He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, that's Christ, from whom the whole body, notice, is joined and is knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, this passage again shows us how a body concept is used together with spiritual gifts that God has given. And we could note that our body contains volumes of information about the marvel of the human body. Scripture tells us we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, some, again, teach that we've evolved from apes, but we are not descended from apes, friends. There's actually many differences, many more differences between apes than there are similarities between us and them. We are humans created in the likeness of God, with a body, with a soul, and with a spirit. But the physical aspect includes many parts and makes up the whole person. So we have organs, and we have hands, and we have feet, we have bones, we have internal tissue, and lots of other things going on for us. So just as I think about our circulatory system, I think of our heart can squirt blood up to 30 feet. Now that's an amazing feat that somebody put together. And then it goes on to say here, that's not that far considering your circulatory system of arteries and veins and capillaries could wrap around the world more than twice if they were stretched out end to end. So our blood vessels are amazing, and this is an amazing thing as well. Our lungs, again, oxygenate our blood or we would die. The right lung is bigger than our left lung, and God is even included enough space here or enough here to put a heart right here in our body. So God has planned everything. We definitely are fearfully and wonderfully made. Each of us has a liver that does 500 different functions, and we couldn't live without it, even though it's there. It's an amazing thing that we need to understand as note. Our feet have over 500,000 sweat glands that can produce up to 1 pint of sweat a day. Remember, wash your stinking feet because they do stink, and that's why we need to keep those feet clean. We need to keep them washed, no doubt about that. Now, the largest cell in the human body is a female egg, and the smallest cell is the male sperm. You put them together, and look what you have. Here we go. This is not Maggie and Schwann's little girl, but again, a darling little baby, and this is absolutely a wonderful thing. God has created an amazing thing when he's created our physical bodies with all the parts, and yet we're one whole part as well. So as we think of our bodies, again, we have bones, we have muscles, And it takes 200 muscles working together to take just one step. And I can understand with my wife with her stroke and the difficulty she has, that it's difficult for her to take steps when you have to have 200 muscles working and coordinating together. Another stat I found out is that there's 300 cells die every minute in our body, yet we have 300 billion new cells are created every day. In our bodies, we have 10 to 50 trillion cells in our body. What an amazing creation the body is. There's no doubt about that. No wonder the psalmist says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. No doubt about it. We are not a cosmic accident, but an incredible creation of God made in his image. God made us with great diversity, yet we become one with him at the moment of salvation, at the moment we trust Christ as our Savior. So now I'm going to have you turn over to 1 Corinthians and keep a finger here in Ephesians 4, because we're coming back here later. So if you want to look at the verses, you need to do that. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's read the passage we're going to study here tonight. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 and following. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but it's made up of many members. If the foot should say, because I am not of the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course it is. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I am not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course it is. If the whole body were an eye, then where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts have a greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Paul tells us of the many members, yet he reminds us of our oneness in Christ as we continue to read here. And although differing gifts, not all have the same gift or the same function in the body. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. And that's the answer to all of these questions that we need to understand. But earnestly desire the best gifts that you. But there's a more excellent way here. So as we think of this passage of Scripture, I'm going to give you a number of points here. These points are not on your handout, so don't look to fill them in, even though it appears there is a fill-in. There's not. Okay? First thing, there's the diversity of the body of Christ as it relates to spiritual gifts and service in this section. Secondly, there's the unity of the body of Christ as we are all one body in Christ. Thirdly, sovereignty of God in determining each believer's place of service and spiritual gift in the body of Christ. Fourthly, we are to be content, not covetous or competitive with others and their particular gifts. Fifthly, we are to value and appreciate others and their service in the body of Christ. And lastly, we are to express genuine love and care We're all in the body, beginning in your local church. So this is the thrust of what we're going to teach tonight. There's no blanks to fill these in, but you'll be filling a lot of this in here on your handout as we progress. So as we think of all this tonight, God wants us to see again this body life God's way. Okay, and this applies to each of us personally where we're at in the Christian life and to the local church corporately. But let's look at this tonight and learn to apply the truths by faith as we go. Okay. Now, the last session we noted, and we're jumping in on your handout now, right on to point E on your handout, the created interdependence of the church. And we talked about this last time, but we're going to review this point again, but then we're going to move ahead by the grace of God. As we thought about this body, we looked at anatomy 101 in 12:12a. What do we see? The human body is complete as one entity, though consisting of many members in that body. And we noted in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So as we think again of this one physical body, we're likening it to, again, Jesus Christ, as we are in the body of Christ in the church, and we've been placed there via the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Though we are an organic whole, we are made up of various parts which perform different functions that make up one body. And that's why all are needed and all are important in the body of Christ. Secondly, we noted the human body, though made up of many distinct components, is still only one body. And that goes right in with that verse 12 there. Many parts, yet one body. Diversity of members, unity though in the body of Christ, with Jesus Christ being the head of that body. Then we made an application about that, the first application last time, and we stated, just like the human body is one with many members, so also is the body of Christ. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, how did this happen? We took some time on this, and we mentioned last time the second point. The means of the spiritual positional unity that we enjoy is the baptizing and indwelling of the Holy Spirit relative to every believer in this age. This is the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit, placing us into the body of Christ, as well as indwelling us with the Holy Spirit, so we belong to God. And that's why we were all, notice, baptized into that one body. And this happens when Christ is believed. And that's why the message of the gospel is so important. And that's why when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for our sins, we are born again and we are baptized and placed into the body of Christ. And every believer then, as I could draw that here for just a moment, every believer then is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, enabling that person to live a holy Christian life. And this happens again at the moment the Spirit of God placed, at that moment, the Spirit of God places him into union with Christ and in union with every other believer in the body of Christ. And this is again the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we all are partakers of. So as we think again of the text here in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Doesn't matter if we were Jews or Greeks, or we were slave or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And this is everyone that's come to Christ and put their faith in Christ has been baptized into that body and made one with him. Now, this is not an issue of power, but of placement. And that's why I mentioned that this is positional in nature. Every believer is now placed into Christ. They were taken from their old position in Adam, identified with Christ with his death, burial, and resurrection, and then placed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit into this one body of Christ. Okay? So it's not an issue of power, but of placement. Not for a select few, but for all. Since all believers have been baptized, that's what we need to understand and we need to note here, okay? It happens at the moment of time when you were saved. Otherwise, we would have some who have been baptized by the Spirit and some who have not been. But that's not what it says. It says, we were all baptized here. This is very important. Whether you were a Jew or a Greek, whether you were slave or free. It does not matter whether you were a Jew or a Greek, whether you were bond or free. Okay? There are many people in slavery in that day, just as there are people in slavery in our day. But those are not the issues, because when you're saved, we all become one together. So it's not about a race, it's about God's grace. That's the point that we need to understand and we need to note. And that's why the most important decision anyone can make is to come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. And that's why we need to know that God so loved you, friends, that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would be willing to believe in him, you should not perish, but you could have right now everlasting life. God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, 2 Timothy 2:4 says. And then in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a repentance. That means a change of mind in what you're thinking about Jesus Christ. Thus, the moment one is saved, they are baptized and placed into Christ. And that's what 1 Corinthians 12:13 is telling us. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We've been, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and have been all made to drink of that one Spirit. So as we can review again, just for a moment before we go on here to Anatomy 201, at salvation, we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We were sealed by the Holy Spirit. We became a child of God at that moment. We were sealed until the day of redemption. That means until our bodies are going to be redeemed at the rapture or at death. We were given eternal life, which is a free gift. And we were saved by the grace of God. For by grace, you can be saved. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. All right? So as we continue looking at this created interdependence of the church here, let's look at Anatomy 201. Let's kind of move ahead here and look at verses 14 through 17 here. Well, I'm going to just have these on PowerPoint here, but you can follow along if you like. 12:14 says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but it's made up of many members here. Okay, so what do we need to see here? Well, we need to see the human body is a compilation of individual parts which make up the whole. That's what this verse is telling us. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many members. Many parts, but we have this one physical body here. And many functions in that body, as we know in the past, there are these many, many processes and many hidden parts, again, that keep us going by the grace of God. Each part is designed to serve for the common good of the body. All are needed, all are important, and that's why we look here at this physical body, and we need to see that we are somewheres in this body, whether we're an external part or an internal part of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter. All of these parts are needed. And that's why God wants to use you in the body of Christ to function just like all of these parts are needed in our body, lest something is wrong and we're not being all that we could be. So Paul sets up a theological argument here in verses 15 and 16. He says, if the foot should say, this is hypothetical, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, that's ridiculous. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? That's incredulous. Of course you're part of the body. Okay? So that's the point he's making here. He's setting up this straw man argument that he's shooting down. Okay? So we note, secondly, each member of the body is content with its place and function while recognizing that its difference does not mean it is not part of the whole. Now, this is in relation to the physical body, friends. But that's why people need to have the same attitude concerning their spiritual gift wherever they're at. They need to be content with their spiritual gift and the place and function that they have in that physical body here. This is, there's no complaining in the body. My physical body doesn't complain. My liver doesn't say, I wish I was an eye. No, it's the liver. And it functions there and does what it should do. Each does its part and is content to be the part that God wants it to be. Each recognizes its place and does its part for the benefit of the whole body here. Okay? Thus, each part has a function and a purpose. As we look at this diagram here with all these different systems that are going on in this body, you know, I used to have tonsils in my throat, but when I was a little boy, I had a lot of earaches, so the doctors decided to take those tonsils out. They don't do that anymore, as far as I understand here. So if we're thinking about this, why would God put extra members in your body which have no purpose? Why would God save you and place you into the body of Christ and say, well, I have no purpose for you? He wouldn't do that. God designed every part of the body with a purpose, and all part, though, of that same body. So today, they found out that tonsils have an important part. Now, I don't know what part they have, but I don't have tonsils anymore. They cut them out of me when I was 5, okay? But what is needed is cooperation and contentment, not competitiveness and discontentment in the body. So here we are, again, members of the body of Christ. God wants us to cooperate together. He wants us to strive together for the faith of the gospel. That's the idea. That's what we're getting at. So this chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is such a good chapter because it has these great illustrations of the physical body versus the body of Christ. And if your physical body and each member of that body has a particular function and it should be content with where it is, so should you be in the body of Christ. Third point here under this anatomy 201 is this. Each part of the human body has a needed function that no other part can do. Now that should be encouraging to you, okay? If the whole body were just an eye, where would be the hearing in that body? If the whole were just a hearing, where would be the smelling in the body? Well, that's why we have these different parts and different functions, you know. All can't be an ear, all can't be an eye, all can't be a hand, all can't be a smile. That's not going to work. It's like being on a team, friends. And here we have a picture I would take as to be a soccer team, okay? All must do their part. Each must be content with their part. Some play offense, some play defense, and some have to play both roles. I'm not really an expert in soccer, but you could use football. Some are on the offensive line and offensive side of the ball. Some are on the defensive side of the ball. And again, over here, we've got the goalie here. He probably has the guy that has to protect the net. But again, all the other players who are playing defense need to do the same thing as well. So here's some more points here I'm going to give you. These are not on your handout, again, but just pay attention to what I'm going to tell you here. We are not only dependent on the Lord, we are interdependent on each other in our body. And that's very, very true. At times, sparks fly, and we need the lubricating oil or the STP of the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, especially as it comes to marriage. There can be, you know, there can be friction. Sparks can fly in marriages. And that's why we need to be filled with the Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit and God's love can flow in our marriages, in our homes, in our families. Remember, we are where we are by the grace of God. God has placed us where He wants us. Thus, we need to be content and not competitive with the gifts God has given us. We need to recognize the value of team ministry and body life. God never designed a lone ranger type ministry mentality. He wants us to function together. Again, there's this one body with many members who are interdependent on each other and who need the love of God to keep that flowing and the Spirit of God to make it work in our lives. Okay. If you can access a good local church, by all means, you are to do so. That's where your gifts can really function. Thus, God wants to use you in the body of Christ, especially in the local church where you sense the Spirit of God is directing you. So as we come to Anatomy 201, we've looked at some things here that are very important to understand. Let's make some applications here now, secondly, in verses 18 through 20. The first application is each believer's place of service and spiritual gift has been sovereignly assigned by God. And we see that here in verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Notice we have been assigned. He has set the members, each one in the body, as God pleased. This was God's doing for you, friends. And it's God's doing for me as well. So as we think of our Christian walk here, you know, we need to walk with the Lord. We need to walk in fellowship and in harmony with the Lord. When you have someone, when you give someone a position, and you have to give them a position to get them to do something, you have the wrong person in that position. Because they should be filled with the Spirit. They should want to do their part, as we're going to look at that. Okay? That's very, very important. Divine wisdom is behind the placement of each person that placed you in the body of Christ. He's placed you there, and that's why he doesn't want you to be discontented with that. Discontentment can destroy all that. If you are discontented, your problem is with God. Why is that? Because God is the one who gifted you, and God is the one who placed you into the body, and God is the one who wants to use you and to function right where he's placed you in the body of Christ. And sometimes people get discontented, you know, and they get mad at the pastor for some reason, because they can't take it out on God, so they take it out on his spokesman. And sometimes I feel like that spiritual pinata where everybody wants to take a whack at me, and I'm supposed to turn around and give candy because they can't see God. And they're walking by sight anyways. And so again, where's the love in that, friends? That's what I want to say here. So Christ's love now should be our motivation as we work together here in the body of Christ. Be motivated by the love of Christ and a good conscience. And we need to be doing as unto the Lord and for the glory of God. Okay. So the first application was each believer's place of service and spiritual gift has been sovereignly assigned by God. But secondly, each believer's place of service and spiritual gift has been individually crafted by God, been crafted by God. Each of us is different, and each has been crafted to fit into the building as he pleased to do so. Okay. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased to do so here. And that's why when you find that that's true of you, friends, and you can really, that God has given you an assigned place and he's crafted you and fit you into the body just where he wants you to function, and it's true of each one of them, okay, as he pleased. You're to keep in mind, you're to do whatever you do as unto the Lord, because he is the one that's designed this. And we're just trying to discover his design. And as we discover his design, then we're trying to fit into this whole system. And again, do what we do as unto the Lord. Okay. Third point here is I want to make here an application. Each believer's place of service and spiritual gift is needful for the proper function and growth of the body of Christ. All are needed, all are part of the whole, and we see that here in verses 19 and 20. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yes, yet one body. And again, who's the head of that body? The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of that body. And that's why he's calling the shots. He's the one that's assigned you your place. He's the one that's crafting you to fit in where he wants, because he knows where you're needed. And that's why when you begin to see these things, you can just begin to relax and allow God to use you as he sees fit in the body of Christ where you can function. We don't have to. God's not trying to force a square peg into a round hole here. He's not trying to think that way at all. Now, our main purpose, again, friends, is not just evangelism, okay? But it should be edification when we get together. And evangelism will flow out of that when the body is edified and equipped for service. So how does the church grow? The blueprint of the body of Christ, back to Ephesians 4 again, 8 through 12. The Lord Jesus Christ gave gifted men. Here he gave. And here we're looking at the pastor teacher specifically. And his job is to teach the people, to train them, to feed them the word of God, and to lead them for the perfecting of the saints. And when the saints are perfected and brought to spiritual maturity, the saints then do the work of ministry. And that would include reaching out to the saved and edifying the saved by the grace of God. And then evangelism will flow out of that as well, as we want to reach the lost for Christ. There's no doubt about that, okay? So the primary purpose of the gathering of the church is to worship God and edify and equip the saints, okay? That's the primary purpose. It's for the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints can do the work of ministry. This includes evangelism, as we just noted there, and we read about it in Ephesians 4 earlier here this evening. So we can turn back here now to Ephesians, take your marker and put it in 1 Corinthians, and go back to Ephesians 4 for a minute, and let's look at the passage again. In Ephesians 4, 7 through 9, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says, but to each one of us, now notice, each one of us, grace or a gift was given. And it was given according to the measure of Christ's gifting. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captives, and he gave gifts to men in his church. Now we're going to skip verse 9 here, and we're going to go right to verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Some say pastor teachers. Well, there's people who are teachers that are not necessarily pastors here. Now notice, these were speaking and teaching gifts that the ascended Christ gave to the church, because they needed those that could communicate the word of God so that the saints now could be edified and worship the Lord for what's happening here. Now, along with this passage of scripture, let me show you Ephesians 2:20. It says that we today have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So the apostles and prophets were foundation layers to the church. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, and that means that he was the starting point to the whole thing. So Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the starting point, and when you build a building, you always have to lay the foundation first. That's very, very important that you lay the foundation first. So again, it was the apostles and prophets' purpose to lay this foundation. Very, very important, okay? Now, the church is not laying the foundation today. That was at the beginning of the church, back in the early chapters in the book of Acts and in the epistles when they were written. Today, he's putting on the roof of this building called the church, and it's likened here to a building, okay? He's putting a roof on the structure. Today, there are no apostles and no prophets, but there are evangelists, there are pastors, and there are teachers today. And their job, since the apostles and prophets have passed off the scene, you go to some churches and this is apostle so-and-so and this is prophet so-and-so. That's not true, friends. There are no apostles and prophets. They laid the foundation. They built off the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, who was the starting point. You only lay a foundation once. Once the foundation was laid, they passed, those gifts passed off the scene. And today there's the gift of evangelists, those who win people to Christ, pastors who teach people, and teachers in the church who teach people the word of God. So as we think of Ephesians 4 here, verses 7 and 8, we skipped up to verse 11. Let's look at verses 12 and 13. Why did God give these speaking gifts, and why do we have evangelists, pastor teachers, and teachers today? Well, we've got them for the equipping of the saints. So the equipping of the saints, this word means for the perfecting of the saints. When the saints are perfected, they then do the work of ministry. They then edify the body of Christ, and that's the idea of how this is to be done. Now, how long is this to go on? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Now, this doesn't mean sinless. This means mature. God wants to mature the saints to do the work of ministry, to perfect them and to mature them to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, when we measure up to his stature and we're filled with Christ, then the church will be perfected. Well, perpetually, every generation that comes in has to be equipped, has to be taught. And that's why this is going to be an ongoing thing perpetually during this present age with each new generation until we are all perfected, spiritually matured, until we are all like Christ, until we are all alike in our thinking doctrinally is the idea here, okay? So this is an ongoing process, and this is exactly why God has gifted certain people with certain gifts, and you have a gift, and as you're part of that body, you're needed. God has crafted you. He has assigned you. He has fit you into the body right where you are, and maybe some of you will be pastors someday. I don't know. Let's keep reading here. In verses 13 through 15 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Man, to a perfect man, to the stature of the measure of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, every kind of teaching that comes down the pipe that can throw us by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. Satan's behind that. But instead, we're to be speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up spiritually in all things unto him who is the head, that we may glorify and honor Jesus Christ in life. So again, Satan wants to trick us. He wants to have us to be like spiritual tumbleweed and what? Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. So as gifted men teach you the word of God, you can know the truth and you can speak the truth in love. So my job is to teach you the word of God, to equip you so that you can do the work of ministry. And truth always points you where? It points you to Jesus Christ. There's just no doubt about that. Now, the objective is to plug your spiritual umbilical cord, if you're a new believer, into Jesus Christ by means of his word. And this will teach you how to abide and to walk with him in life. So let's keep reading verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we may spiritually grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined. Now notice that the whole body is joined. That's God's job. And knit together Why would every joint, every part supplies, God wants to use you to be a supplier there, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. You can't do more than your share. And this causes growth now to the body for the edifying of itself in love. So again, friends, this is very, very important that we understand this. God wants us to be joined and knit together. He wants us to cooperate. He wants us to see where our assignment is. He wants us to understand that we've been crafted so that we could fit together to do his work. Thus, Jesus Christ and his truth will join us and knit us together. Then every part will supply its share and cause growth in the body. And love will be the basis of all of this. Again, here's this key word, love. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to see it in 1 Corinthians 13, but here it's even in Ephesians 14. So again, how does this work here? Body life under the headship of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the sovereign. He has sent the Spirit of God into the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's sent the Spirit of God into every believer. He's given us the Word of God, and we could actually put pastor, teacher down below here because I'm not above any of that. I'm under the Word of God so that, again, he is feeding and training the people, the local churches of believers. That's how this works, friends, okay? So the next question is, and we mentioned this already, how do you discover your spiritual gift? Well, there's four things I want to mention here for you. And again, the objective is not to discover your spiritual gift because there's no verse to go to discover that, okay? And that's why here's the first point. As important as spiritual gifts are, the focus of Christian living is not a matter of knowing and determining your gift, although I think most people would like to know, you know, what's my spiritual gift? I'm going to tell you how to figure that out here in just a minute. Secondly, the emphasis should be on being in a condition of heart and a walk with the Lord and a spiritual growth that allows you to serve in whatever way the Lord wants. And this, again, speaks of being spiritually minded, yielded to the Lord. If you're yielded to the Lord, you're going to discover your spiritual gift here, okay? Not a matter of figuring out, and that's why over time, that gift will surface. It will become evident to you, to me, and to others. Hey, you've got a gift here in this area. And it's because you've been walking with the Lord, it's because you've been spiritually minded and yielded to the Lord that this has become evident because you're in a state of mind and condition that the Spirit of God can use you so that your gift begins to surface and people begin to see, hey, you're gifted for teaching. Maybe you should be a Sunday school teacher. You're gifted just to encourage people. That's your gift, or you're a great helper. Thank you for being a helper. Now, fourthly, this is the point. There's no passage in the New Testament that tells you how to know your spiritual gift. And that's why it comes back down to being spiritually minded, being yielded to the Lord, to depend upon him and to be filled with the Spirit. And as you're true of you, that gift will become evident. Okay? Now, when making a decision, we always want to start with the known will of God. Now, we've looked at these in the past. There's a couple of new ones in here that have been added in here. So, and you don't have to write these down. There's no place on your handout to write these down, but most of you know these. What is the will of God for you? Well, first of all, it's to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants every person to be saved, but most are not. Okay? Once you're saved, God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. That's how you're going to know your spiritual gift, by being spiritually minded, by being yielded and dependent. Then he wants you to be spiritually growing in grace, 2 Peter 3:18. He wants you to be sexually pure like Joseph. We looked at him last week, didn't we? We didn't look at 1 Thessalonians 4:1 through 8. He wants you to be submissive to the authorities that are over you in life, because that's part of God's will for you. He wants you to be suffering for Christ's sake. And when you're spirit filled and you're growing spiritually and you're walking with the Lord, you're going to suffer. That's just the way it is, friends. And Joseph is suffering terribly in our story of him, but at the same time, God is developing him through the adversity that he's going through. He's getting him ready to take over in Egypt and to run that whole country. It's absolutely amazing, okay? Seventh, you're to be saying thanks. We're to be thankful for all we have, and we're to be serving the Lord in all you do. Friends, when these eight things are true of you, this is the known will of God, that we can pull out passages of Scripture that tell us what the known will of God is. And if these are going on in your life, you're going to find out the unknown will. You're going to find out your spiritual gifts in the Christian life. Okay? So as we go back to that question again, how do you discover your spiritual gift? Well, Romans 12, 1 and 2 are key verses that can give us some real insight here. After Paul has taught all this doctrine in Romans 1 through 11, he gets real practical now, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, therefore, points us back to what was taught in chapters 1 through 11, but also points us ahead, because he is speaking to the brethren, he's speaking to the believers here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, here's the key, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. That body should be holy, set apart from sin. It should be acceptable to God, which is reasonable in light of what God and his doctrine has done for you. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but instead allow the Spirit of God to transform you by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is this verse saying? This verse is an appeal to true spirituality. Reckoning yourself dead to sin and alive to God, you now then present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Why? Because this is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God for you. Okay? And that's why how you discover your spiritual gift. There's no verse that says, this is your gift, Joe. This is your gift, Nate. This is your gift, Sally. This is your gift, Susie. There is no verse that says that. But again, as you walk with the Lord, as you depend upon him and walk in faith, God will make these things evident and your gift will surface. It will come to be known. Now, verse 3 is a good verse because it tells these believers, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. How does God want us to think soberly? Be humble. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, a spiritual gift is the idea here. Okay? A measure of faith, a spiritual gift here. We're going to see that in verses 4 through 8 here in just a minute. Let me give you a few points here, full bullet points here. We are to think humbly because we are total products of grace, including the gifts that we have. I'm going to have a drink of water here. I think I'm running out of gas. Clear my throat a little bit. Secondly, we should not take our gifts and our opportunities to serve and walk around like peacocks saying, look at me, aren't I important? Do you have my spiritual gift? We're not to think that way. We're not to walk that way. Thirdly, we are to walk humbly in light of the grace of God that is transforming us through the word of God. So next, Paul here after verse 3 addresses spiritual gifts in verses 4 through 8. Here we are. Whereas we have many members. Now notice again, repeat here, many members in one body. That's the same thing 1 Corinthians 12 was teaching us. But all the members do not have the same function. No, they don't. So being many, yes, we are still one body, but we're one body in Christ. And individually, members of one another. And it's all about the one another's in the Christian life. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Here's a gift. If your gift is prophecy, let us use prophecy in the proportion of our faith. Or if your gift is ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Or if your gift is teaching, you then teach. If your gift is exhortation, then exhort. If your gift is giving, do it with liberality. If your gift is leading, do it with diligence. If your gift is showing mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Well, guys, most guys do not have the gift of showing mercy, although some may have them. That's not my gift, okay? Guys are kind of rough and tumble, and we just kind of say it the way it is, and that's the way it is, okay? But oftentimes women are very empathetic towards other women and towards even guys sometimes because they may be hurting, okay? So the key to all this again now is found again in verses 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2, yielding to the Lord, being allowing the word of God to transform us by the renewing of our mind, growing in grace, walking humbly, and using our gifts that God has given us, that he's crafted those gifts and assigned us a place in the body so that we can function. Again, there's one body with many members in that body. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has a place to function. And everyone has a place that they're needed in that body of Christ. Okay? Let's keep moving here. We got to keep going here. I got to kick it in the rear and get going here. Let's look at anatomy 301 here in verses 21 through 24. We want to finish this chapter here tonight by the grace of God. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that every member of the human body has a built-in interdependence with each other. That means, friends, I need you, you need me, we need each other. This hand washes this hand. That's how that works, okay? All are needed, but no one is irreplaceable or indispensable, including me. God buries his workmen, but he carries on his work, so no one can think and say, well, what would they do without me at Grace Gospel Bible Church? Well, God will replace you in a second. It's like he'll replace me in a second, if I get to thinking that way. For the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You can't say that. We need each other, okay? Secondly, even those members of the body which appear to be weaker are still very necessary in the body. And feet are, you might say, are my feet as important as my hands? Well, try living without your feet and see how you'll do, okay? No, much rather, those members of the body would seem to be weaker, they are necessary. And that's why one portion of Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, because your feet brings you to bring the good news of the gospel. The service in the body takes all parts, just like an orchestra, all the parts, when they do their part and they play their instruments, the harmony and the sound that comes out is very, very good. Okay? Verses 23 and 24a, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, well, I don't really need a liver. Are you kidding? I don't need both my lungs. I don't need my fifth vertebrae. Are you kidding? On these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Excuse me, I gotta get a drink again. I think I'm blowing a gasket. Friends, we put shoes on our feet to protect them and make them more efficient, more usable. And especially my old feet, I mean, I see kids run across rocks and I go, how can they do that? Well, they're kids and they're light. You get to be my weight, my age, and you're a tenderfoot. You need to have shoes on your feet, okay? So in our bodies, we have parts that are never seen. So in the body of Christ, there are believers who serve behind the scenes, but at the same time, they are needed. They are needed, okay? And this brings us to this third point. Even members of the human body, which are deemed not as important, we actually bestow greater honor with shoes, gloves, or clothing, and other members of the body simply need normal appreciation and respect. One day, those people who are behind the scenes will hear from the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." They might not have been up front. They might not have been speaking. They might not have had a flashy job or whatever you might think about. But they're needed in the body of Christ. That's the whole point here. Okay, so let's make some applications here. Number three application, what should we say? God composed the body of Christ so that there should be no division in it. And this was the problem here at Corinth, you know, strife and divisions in the body. They lacked the unity of the Spirit of God that he wanted in the local church. So, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there be no schism in the body, okay? Secondly, God composed the body of Christ so that believers would have the same care for one another. And again, we see that here. God wants us to have that same care for one another. Again, the local church is all about the one another's. All about you. It's all about me. It's all about the person next to you. That's very, very important, okay? Anatomy class number 401, verse 26 and following. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Very important to understand and note, okay? If one member of the body suffers, like the big toe, like your fifth lumbar is puckering, or like for Sherry, she's got a sore back, all the body suffers. Her whole body suffers, see? And that's important to understand and note. Secondly, if one member of the human body is honored with a pat on the back, the whole body is honored here. And this is important to note, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Like in the Olympics, you know, the legs of a good runner are not honored above the person, or if it's a team event, you know, this person may have scored the goal, but the whole team goes up, if it's a swimming team or whatever it is, you know, and is honored. So this is important to understand. Notice this on the bottom here. We are on the same team. What should be our attitude? How can I help here? What can I do? How can I contribute is the idea there. And again, I'm not telling you just to act independently. The Spirit of God may lead you to do that, but we're always asking you to work through the chain of command. And if you want to help and you want to do something, run it by me first. I'd like to hear. I don't want everybody acting independently. There is a chain of command, and I really appreciate when people see that and understand that. And just ask and run it by me. That is so very important. But let's talk about some applications here now. We got to bring this down here. We're running out of time. A couple minutes left here. Applications. Number one, your first application, remember your locality. You here is in the plural in this passage. Now you are the body of Christ. All of you are the singular body of Christ and members individually here. God has placed you in the local church here called Grace Gospel Bible Church. God is saying, serve right there. Remember your locality is what I'm telling you. How can I help right here? Be loyal. Do not forsake the assembling yourselves together as some do. And I even think on Wednesday night, some people do not even tap in to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. It's so convenient, you can do it right from your couch. You don't have to go anywhere. But still, people do not listen. They don't check it in. They're too busy with life. So remember your locality. Secondly, remember your unity. You, again, is plural, are the body, singular, of Christ. Very, very important. Unity is a byproduct of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and people working together in their own locality. Number three, remember your uniqueness. Members individually. Now you are the body of Christ here. But here's some more points here that are not on your handout, again, to summarize what we've been talking about here tonight, okay? Number one, you have a spiritual gift or a gift mix to serve in the body of Christ, and God wants to use you right there. Now, in some cases, it's a maturity issue. You need more time to grow. So maybe you haven't been given a function yet, but you just need to grow some more because you just got saved. You're coming into the church and you're excited, you're fired up, and you want to be used. But sometimes, again, you just need some more time. You need to grow in grace even more, okay? In another case, it's a timing issue. You may not be able to serve in some way where you would like to serve. You know, I'd like to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, we don't even have Sunday school right now. Or not serve in a particular area any longer. And that's, we can deal with that. So you just have to talk to us about it, okay? It may be a carnality issue. Because you've just been serving yourself, you're pursuing the things of the world. You don't even have time to check in on Wednesday night to hear the word of God taught, because it's all about the way you think and what you want in life. And maybe you're carnal, maybe you're not, maybe you have to work. I don't know. Okay. Remember your uniqueness. You're unique. God has fitted you and crafted you to fit into the local church here. God has gifted you to serve at a maximal level in the body of Christ right here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, okay? So as you think of another application, letter D on your handout. Recognize God's priority regarding your place of service and spiritual gifts, okay? It should be here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. You need to plug in here, and this should be your priority. So if you spend time on Wednesday night or Sunday morning listening to someone else teach the Word of God on a consistent basis, I don't think you're in the will of God because you have a misplaced priority. If God has you here in this locality, you should prioritize and make this locality your priority. Now, that doesn't mean when you're up north, you can't go to church in Duluth. I'm not saying that. So you need to don't go overboard. But when I hear of people who don't listen to me here teach or listen to our Joseph on Sunday morning, but tune into Duluth, I'm thinking, where is your priority? Your priority is in the wrong place. That's what I see here, okay? So God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, highest authority in the first century church, second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues here, okay? I'm saying that you should be, when the door is open at the church, Pastor Radke used to say, when the door is open at church, you should be there if you can be. That's the idea. Then you're making it a priority, and I understand some of you have to work. Some of you are too far away. But again, even with Zoom, it should be so easy to tune in. And I know it's hard to have this unity right now because we're so far apart, but this is a unique situation. There's no doubt about that, okay? Letter E, recognize God's sovereignty and our interdependence regarding your place of service and spiritual gifts. We need each other. You need me and I need you. There's just no doubt about that. And again, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. They fast off the scene. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But again, we are still interdependent upon each other. This is very important. But as I think of the early church, thank God for the apostles and the prophets. They laid the foundation of the church. They wrote the New Testament and communicated those key principles that we still study and noted today. And thank you for you and your contribution here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. Without you, we wouldn't be here. And thank you again for your support in light of all that. Letter F. Realize God's more excellent way of using your spiritual gifts is to do so in love. This is a key here because the last verse says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What's the more excellent way? It's love, and it's going to be seen here in chapter 13. So, although we have all these spiritual gifts, we need the love of God. So again, chapter 13, notice the word love here is highlighted in this passage of scripture. We'll get into this next time by the grace of God. So the key in using your spiritual gift is being filled with the Spirit, allowing the Word of God to renew you daily, and again, allowing the fruit of the Spirit, love, control you. If love controls us, friends, it will be very, very good. One day all the spiritual gifts will be gone, will cease. But God's love will never cease. Thus, we need God's love in our lives here. So we look tonight at, again, the body life, God's way. Again, there's the spiritual body. We're part of that body. We've been gifted to serve in that body. And we've been crafted and we've been assigned our place by God. And if you don't like the place that you've been assigned, take it up with the Lord. You can come and talk to me about it if you like. But again, it's body life, God's way, lessons 8. Again, spiritual gifts in the local church. Let's pray. Okay. Father, we thank you again for your grace and for the word of God tonight. I pray as we think of the believers here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, who has gifted us all through the Spirit of God to function here in the local church by the grace of God. It's been difficult, Father, being separated, but still there are people functioning and serving in ways that we normally wouldn't if we were together, and others would function and serve in ways when we're together, but that's not possible right now. We're looking to you, Father, for your grace, and we want to learn these lessons by the grace of God. We want to walk in dependence upon you. If there's anyone, Father, listening that's never been saved by the grace of God, might you address the issue? Might they trust in Jesus Christ, and who died for them and rose again to pay for their sins, that they can be forgiven and have eternal life as a free gift? Thanks again for this passage in 1 Corinthians 12. We've taken some time to get through it. And next week we'll move on to chapter 13 by the grace of God and the love chapter. We need to learn these principles and truths by your grace. Thank you again for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the people of Grace Gospel Bible Church. Thanks for Eric and Aaron playing and singing for us every week. For Nate even helping me set up this Zoom. For Joe and his service to the body of Christ. For the deacons, Father, who serve. And for the many who teach Sunday school and function in different portions, the nursery and whatever. We look forward to getting back together so that we could all serve and have a potluck and sit down with one another and visit each other. We thank you for these things, Father. We commit our time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.